ओम शांति। गुड मॉर्निंग। ऑन द 18th ऑफ जनवरी मेनी ऑफ यू विल बी सेलिब्रेटिंग द डे एट योर ओन सेंटर्स एंड सो टुडे इज अ सेलिब्रेशन टू ऑनर बाबा फॉर ऑल ऑफ यू। 18th विल बी having the program for the students, daily students of GCH, for today, for all those who come from further away. And those of you who understand Hindi understood the very beautiful, powerful lyrics of the song, the immortal story of Brahma Baba. But many of you don't understand Hindi, and so just in a few words, it described how Brahma Baba started the revolution that could bring peace into the world. It recognized Brahma Baba's tyag, renunciation and tapasya to be able to transform the world. It spoke about Baba uplifting the mothers and the kumaris to be able to take responsibility for world service and create a new world. So every stanza was talking about different aspects of Brahma Baba. And today in the Murli, Baba spoken about the combined form. And I was asking myself the question, to what extent was Brahma Baba and Shiv Baba always combined together? And to what extent did we see the personality of Brahma Baba shine through? And it was difficult to separate the two, and you didn't really need to because they were combined. And then of course we say that, well, Shiv Baba actually came into Brahma Baba, and that's why it was easy for him to be combined. And for us, we have to remember Shiv Baba, and then we feel combined. But that's okay. There have been a few questions that have been coming through, asking about Brahma Baba's life and times. And one question was, what effort did Brahma Baba make to become Karmatit? And that's the whole story of Brahma Baba, of course. But one was, how did he make everybody feel that they belonged to him? And there was a very lovely explanation that Dadi Janki had given about this. And she said, because Brahma Baba surrendered totally to Shiv Baba very quickly, the immediate gift that he received from Shiv Baba in return for that was his drishti. Brahma Baba's drishti became instantly so powerful that whoever would come would feel that they belonged. And that's true, not just in the early days when people were ready to surrender just simply by seeing Baba, not much gyan. Some had trance experiences, some didn't. But yet, just simply seeing Baba, they felt Baba was their father, and that sense of belonging. And this continued throughout Baba's lifetime, not just at that point, early days, but later on also. Children, I met Baba 8 years old, so as a child, yes, Baba made me feel that he was truly my grandfather, and the sense of belonging. And then through the years, keeping track of what was happening in London. This last week, I think Baba spoke about Brahma Baba's vision on London especially. And it was true all the way in the days of Karachi and Mount Abu, the days of tapasya, when they would have meditation on the mountains and Baba would give drishti. sometimes they would say to Baba, "Baba, where were you? It felt as if you weren't here." And Baba would say to them, "Baba thinks of all the children who yet haven't come to Baba, but Baba's remembering all of them and giving drishti to them wherever they are. And for not just London, but all the foreign lands." Baba was very aware. But yes, every single Murali came to London. Every month a letter came to London from Sarkar Baba in the Sindhi script, the thick red pencil. And Baba sending mangoes, Baba sending every single tape that was recorded came to Rajniban. So Baba never forgot London. If anything, when Baba had the tree and the Trimurti and cycle printed, golden caskets were sent, rolled up in golden caskets. They were sent by airmail post to Rajniban. One for the Queen, one for the Pope. And she did her best to fulfill Baba's request. But Baba was aware of the world and always concerned about helping all his children everywhere. So that sense of belonging started right from the beginning and continued. So Baba didn't have to make any effort for that. That transformation happened instantly. And all the other qualities that we saw in Baba, I was thinking about it further and seeing that those sanskars, for example, the sanskars of total altruism, in which Baba really wanted nothing for himself. People would send him a sweater, Russian friend, she would send him a sweater, because in those days you got the yellow wool in India, the creamy colored, you didn't get white. So she found a white cardigan, really sparkling white, and took it to Madhavan. And Baba touched it, and she said to Baba, "Baba, will you wear it?" And Baba just smiled. And of course she knew that it would be passed on. It wouldn't stay with Baba. So whether it was little things like that or big things where, imagine horse stables, how thick are the walls? They're not thick, they're very thin. And so that old building, and it was the only building standing when they got that land, Pandu Pavan, so that old building was stables. And Baba stayed in that room through the winter months, right till the very end. And the children would say to Baba, "Baba, really, you should now move," because by then other buildings had been constructed, in particular the history hall and the adjoining rooms and the upstairs rooms there. "Baba, please, be comfortable." And Baba would smile and say, "These are for the children. Not for me." And so that sanskar of altruism and always the benefactor, always giving, that must have been so deep in Baba that it stayed with Baba through the whole cycle, right until the very end, because even in that last birth as Dada Lake Raj, those sanskars of giving benefit to others were there. And so when Baba would take a dip in the Ganges, yes, it would be firstly for all the members of his family, and then it would be for the sake of all souls of the world. So Baba, even at that time, now he'd never travelled outside India, he travelled within the big India, the undivided India at that time, all over India, but not out of India. But Baba remembered all souls of the world. And so, just as we would see in the Dadis also, If you look at their life story, then you see how beautiful sanskars were there present in the time before they came to Baba, especially in those souls who were a little bit older, in the ones who came when they were very little. You wouldn't have seen that. Then there were the ones who came in their early teens, like Dadi Prakashmani, and you saw that love for God. She always had that love for God. But then in people like Didi Manmohini and Dadi Janki, through their late teens and early 20s, you saw their sanskars that we would say to Dadi Janki. Wadi had a conversation with Daddy at one point, saying, Daddy, but from what we know of your story, you were always concerned about others and serving. From age 8, going into the villages, going to people's homes when they were sick. You heard those stories. So those sanskars of generosity, of care, of love, of concern were always there with you. And so they were your sanskars. And Adi said, no, they were the sanskars that Baba gave me last kalpa, and they stayed with me till my last birth. And so, yes, definitely, Dada Lekhraj demonstrating those sanskars in which everyone belongs, but also altruism, generosity, concern for others, always putting others ahead. But one other very specific sanskar, and even today it's there in a handful, and that was putting sisters in front. Baba sharing the story in the Murali of liberating Lakshmi from having to massage Narayan's feet. At that moment, he didn't know that Narayan actually wouldn't be getting tired in Satyuga. He didn't know about Satyuga, he didn't know that side of the story. But his heart went out to Lakshmi. Why should Lakshmi be massaging Narayan's feet? And so, cutting the picture so that Lakshmi would be liberated. Another question that came was, has there ever been anyone in history, whether it was a religious founder or it was a great saint or anyone, who actually put women in front and surrendered everything to women? Has there ever been anyone in the whole history of humanity who did that? Before, or even after. And Brahma Baba, with such an elevated vision of souls, all souls, but especially for those who had been second class citizens, and you know the history. So Brahma Baba, absolutely, absolutely unique in every single way. And so today, honoring him, we're not just honoring him, but we're also taking Baba's blessings, that we also follow in his footsteps and become the same. And so the month of January is a special month of blessings. The month of January is the time to feel that closeness, companionship, absolutely being combined with Shiv Baba, but in our eyes, Brahma Baba. Over the last several weeks, it is as if I see Baba in front of me. And so Baba the angel, definitely calling us. And imagine Baba's patience. How much patience? 54 years of patience already. And how much longer? Baba said, don't be date conscious, be soul conscious. So I don't know how much longer, but definitely there's a little while, not so long, but it's a little while. And so Baba's been waiting in the subtle region all this time, waiting for us to become Karmatit. So this is the 54th year. And 33 years in Sakar, 54 years as the angel. That's a long time to be patient. If you're patient for an hour, a few hours, a few days, a few weeks, definitely start getting impatient. How much longer? How much longer? And 54 years. But it's been a time in which we've been seeing another aspect demonstrated, and that is that there is one soul within the whole cycle who actually becomes equal to the Father, absolutely equal. And so Brahman Baba, leaving the cycle of birth and death, the whole drama, and stepping out of that cycle and still being engaged in good karma, but that also not for the self, because Baba achieved his karmatit stage in the physical form, and the signs of karmatit were visible not just in the last few days, but certainly the last year. And so having achieved that stage and still continuing to do karma, good karma, but not for the self, not for my personal account of credit, but truly a karma. Good karma, but a karma like God. And so God does so much, and yet still a karta, the one who does nothing, and a bhokta, the one who receives no return for whatever it is he has done. Doesn't need any return, always the bestower, always the one giving. And so Brahma Baba the same, for 54 years, continuous. An angel doesn't need to sleep. An angel doesn't need time for the self. And so 24/7, 54 years, that's a lot of good karma. But that akarma has been done for serving the world. And so this is why, even as Dada Lekraj, his personality was absolutely unique and incredible. You've read Adidev, I won't go into the details. But Baba walks into a room and 1,000 people will turn their head to see who has come, because the magnetism of that personality was so amazing. And that continued till the last birth. So imagine the magnetism of Narayan, and why Brahma Baba became the number one, and how there was just, yes, there was renunciation, there was huge tolerance of all the things that he had to endure after becoming Baba's chariot, not before. Before, life was very comfortable, but the renunciation was the renunciation of respect, where the whole community had respected him. Now, letting go even of that. And then the tapasya. 2:30 in the morning, Baba, remembering Baba. And so, yes, that effort was made. And so whatever were the things going on inside that were never ever so visible, so the sanskars were already, to a certain extent, subtle. Not even Raju Pradhan, subtle. They were never Tamo Pradhan. And so that transformation happened very quickly. And so nobody saw the effort anyone made, that Brahma Baba made. You know, when you see a swan, it looks as if it's gliding. Very, very elegant. But if you see under the water, its little feet are really working very, very hard. And so Brahma Baba, nothing visible, not even hard work visible, but yes, the inner effort, the quiet, silent transformation happening within. So be very fortunate. Not only do we know Shiv Baba, but we know the whole story of Brahma Baba. Om Shanti.